You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Number 4. With the word Watson stitched on the back. Right now, you can go to your local sporting goods store and buy that on a Houston Texans jersey. But for how much longer? It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. So, quick word, explosive. And I mean on the field. Nobody more explosive defensively the Texans have ever had than J.J. Watt. Wide receiver-wise, explosive. Andre Johnson coming out yesterday, calling out the organization for not listening to Deshaun Watson and what he would like in a new head coach. And, of course, Watson himself, the most explosive of all, the face of the franchise. The Texans, Jay, are in turmoil right now, and apparently there is no easy solution.
You know, I said in the first hour that Deshaun Watson needs to go to McNair family and demand it's either him or Jack Easterby. And I started getting some really interesting replies, Key, on Twitter. You know how it is on Twitter. A guy named at Skeeter Hunt. Yes, at Skeeter Hunt, real Jay Williams. You're going to go to your boss at ESPN and tell him to fire someone within or you're quitting? The players play. You're an employee. Act like one. NFL, ESPN. Woo! Key, can we open up a can?
Shut up and dribble.
Skeeter Hunt, never in your life compared Deshaun Watson to an employee that works at Starbucks. Not saying that they're not people, they're not human beings, but the star power that Deshaun Watson has as a guy that's a top five quarterback in the NFL. Franchises are built around him are drastically different than somebody who sits at a cubicle and nobody really knows their face, right? Deshaun Watson has access to the owners. Keyshawn, you have access to Jimmy Pitaro.
Oh.
We have access.
Let me look on my phone and see if.
The president of ESPN.
It's a different world for a guy like Deshaun who can walk into the room of an owner. Key, you and I both know a lot of owners. We've had lunch with a lot of owners. It's not as if we're that person that is working, that is very thankful for their job, but can never reach out to somebody like that. The proximity to that 1% of separation is so close that it's a different kind of flex. There's a different world. And the two worlds are similar. My boy, Mike Davis, who I talk to all the time, you know, sent me a tweet like, you know, guys are employees. They need to act like employees. I'm like, I hear what you're saying. Everybody is the same, but everybody's not the same
time. I don't get the guy's an employee. They need to act like it. I don't understand that. When you are a superstar in sports, there's a different relationship that you have with management in an organization. Okay, whatever you deem my playing career, who I am, whether I was a bust, whether I was good, whatever you want to call it, I was always respected by the owners of my organizations, whether it was the late Leon Hess, whether it was the late Glazier, Malcolm Glazier, who owned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jerry Richardson from the Carolina Panthers, Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys. I can always reach out to them via cell phone or walk right into their office unannounced, have lunch, sit down, have conversations. Always. My head coaches, same thing. My bosses at ESPN, all of them. I can pick up the phone and communicate my displeasures and my likes with no problems at all whatsoever. And if I was in a position of power, meaning like the guy like Deshaun Watson, my career is in Jack Easterby's hands as well as Nick's. As well as Kyle McNair. My career is in their hands. You could potentially be wasting my career over the next several years by making poor decisions and mistakes because you're clueless as to how to build a football team. Yeah, you can buy a football team and you can inherit a football team, but can you truly build one? Do you know the moving pieces and parts? I don't need you to cater to me after the fact, but I do need you to communicate with me on what we're doing. I don't need you to blindside me by not communicating, because if I decided to not show up like Kyrie Irving and not communicate like Kyrie in basketball, Twitter would be blowing up. People would be saying all sorts of things. But the moment that an athlete decides to put his frustrations out in the public about what's going on, he becomes the bad guy. He becomes the be quiet. We pay you a lot of money. You should shut up. Don't. That's crazy. That is ridiculous to think that. Because I can tell you right now, if I wasn't happy with the people that I work with at ESPN, I have no problem going into whoever is over that project that I'm on or that show that I'm on and telling them, hey, man, it ain't working. I can't because my career is in your hands.
Especially, Kev, ratings are down if you're losing.
If I felt like somebody wasn't bringing my personality out and it wasn't letting me have fun on my show, then I can't. That dude got to go. Either or. It doesn't matter to me.
Let's not act like – I mean, David Blatt was once the head coach of LeBron James. He was no longer the head coach. That was Ty Lue when they won a championship. Doc Rivers was once the head coach of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. He's no longer there. I mean, that's the relationships that you have with Steve Ballmer. That's the relationships you have with Dan Gilbert in order for things like that to happen. And there are only so many star players. There are only so many.
Man, you got to listen to your top-notch guys, okay? Clearly, it has an issue. There's an issue that's going on in Houston in the organization. DeAndre Hopkins mentioned it, not only when he was traded, but recently. As he said, when Dre speaks, you need to listen. Because Andre Johnson doesn't just say, he doesn't talk. When I was approached by my producer and he said, hey, what do you think about Andre coming on? I said, well, is he going to say anything? And Dre just doesn't talk.
Yep.
It's not that it does. It's just that's just not his deal. He doesn't like to get out there and put himself out there. He'll talk to us in private, one-on-one, on the sidebar, but as far as getting out to the public, that's not his deal. But when you have someone like that saying the things that he's saying, you better take notice, Zubin.
Last thing I would say here, and this is just the line of demarcation you have to have, is the only guy on the show that's not a pro athlete that hasn't been in these high-pressure situations.
Well, you play ping pong.
That's true. In the garage, I'm unbelievable, because you put it in the garage, you can't really go anywhere, I got you pinned against the door. No, I would just tell you this, in a totally serious note, I respect anybody who sends a tweet in, you got some guts to go at Jay, and Jay obviously has some great rationale going backwards.
But that tweet, man, don't get me started.
It's a fantasy world for most of us, okay? In the last segment, Bobby Marks came on and essentially said, if James Harden misses a game, he's out 440K. Just stop. If you're a regular dude like me or most of the fellas listening to the show, I didn't show up for work today, so I'm not making $440,000, right? It's nothing to James Harden. It's everything to a regular person. So the idea that we want to ever bring sports into the real world, it's a complete dichotomy. There's a reason we call it the toy department, because it's a fantasy land for most of us. So to ever sort of integrate sports in real life is crazy, because there's nothing real in terms of real life about sports to most
Zubin,
people.
Zubin, guys with their contracts are making $35 to $40 million a year. Add-on shoe endorsements, guys are making $60 million a year.
Right, right. Think about that. So I don't think you can meld one into the other. They're two separate worlds, really. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
All damn, of our guests $60 million, Jay?
On the Goodyear.
Yeah, a couple guys that are, Key.
No, I know. I know. Just hearing it just makes goosebumps.
No doubt about it. On the way, goosebumps for football fans, because the divisional round is upon us this weekend. And we ask the one question as we creep closer to the Super Bowl. Who's the one quarterback?
That would be creep.
Creep closer to the Super Bowl. Who is the one quarterback still standing where a Super Bowl title would be more important to them than anyone else. Plenty of good answers. The fellas weigh in.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the MVP this season.
It's the best season he's ever had.
Idle chatter like that doesn't have a space in my brain.
Jared Goff is the most important player in the NFC playoffs.
This would be an incredibly difficult challenge for Green Bay.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Question in sports over the next month, month and a half, who is going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy after Super Bowl 55? Smaller but more interesting question, who needs it the most? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, and motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles, all at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and also at progressive.com. Let's ask that question and others surrounding the NFL with the divisional round coming this weekend with the NFL insider, Dan Graziano, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Dan, there's a lot of good answers to that question, so I'll just let you know. The one quarterback left that a Super Bowl title would mean the most to would be?
I feel like it was a loaded question given the lead-in. I think it's got to be Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, this is, you know, look, I mean, Mahomes just got one. Brady's got six. You know, Breeze had, like, I think maybe Breeze, but I would say Aaron Rodgers, because there's this narrative about Rodgers, about, like, he's one of the all-time greats, and yet the team has kind of squandered it, right? That's become the popular thing to say about Rodgers. So it would be able to be, he'd be able to put that to bed if he did win a second one. Winning that second one is a big deal. But I would say either him or Breeze, because going from one to two as a quarterback for some reason has some significant historical implications. You know, you think about Eli Manning, whose voice we just heard. Obviously, this makes his Hall of Fame case, the fact that he won a second one. His brother was surely going, but I think winning that second one right at the end, you know, made his legacy even more outstanding. So, yeah, I think Rodgers is the answer.
That's extremely funny, Dan. I feel like you were in our pre-production meeting because I said Aaron Rodgers as well. No, I know. It's just it's good to hear that.
It's a great minds think alike.
Yeah, great minds think alike. Yeah, let me see if we think alike on this one. Aaron Donald is banged up for the Rams, and they're going up against a passing team that they could go get the quarterback. What significance with this injury does it play in for the Rams in that defensive line?
So my understanding, as an individual who has never dealt with, you know, torn rib cartilage or played in a highly competitive football game, is that this is a painful thing to try and endure if you're Aaron Donald. And so the question becomes, how much does it limit him? How much does it affect him? I'm not particularly worried if I'm the Rams about Aaron Donald not practicing this week. I think that's probably fine. We've seen him miss whole training camps and be Defensive Player of the Year more than once. But I think the question is, how does he get through the game? Is he going to have to take plays off that he normally wouldn't? Is he going to be at all less explosive or less effective than he normally would be as a result of that discomfort? If the answers to those questions are yes, then that's a significant problem for the Rams, who probably aren't equipped to outscore Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' offense and are going to have to do whatever they can to limit them. If the answer to that question is no, because Aaron Donald is some sort of superhuman alien, then it's possible that we're going to see the game as we normally would have. But I think that is the key question heading into this game.
I think as long as I've had torn rib cartilage before, as long as he doesn't get hit directly in it and it doesn't move, when it moves, yeah. Dan, it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Like if it moves, when he goes to swim and that thing slides, that's when you know he's in pain.
How do you get it to not move then? I mean, it's your ribs. Like you're.
I guess you have to tape it down or something, and hopefully when you strap it down, it doesn't slide when he goes to swim. That's the only experience I had with it, reaching for balls, things of that nature. But I've fought through it, and I'm sure he'll be fine to fight through it. Let me ask you this about Eric Bieniemy. There's reports out there now that the Houston Texans have reached out or going to reach out to interview Eric Bieniemy. Where is he at on the job front with the vacancies that's available?
He's done 5 interviews, Detroit, Atlanta, Jacksonville, the Jets, and Chargers, I believe. I think those are the 5. Yes, there it is. It's right on the screen. And if Kansas City has put in a request now. Yeah, thanks. I wasn't reading it. I should have been. If Kansas City has put in the request, as has been reported in some places, they can't interview him until after the Chiefs' season is over. They could have interviewed him last week because they were on bye, but now they can't until – so that could be a month from now if the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl. So I'd be surprised if the Texans waited that long to make a hire, and I would be, I guess, a little surprised if Bieniemy didn't get one of the other jobs in the meantime, although – the more this goes on, the more there's sort of this rumbling going on around the league that maybe he might get shut out again because he's not seeming to show up as a finalist in many of these places. But a lot of these things can still change. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer and if he doesn't end up there, what that changes for them. So it's still a little bit early in the process,
even though
I would expect things to move pretty soon.
I just hear you say he may get shut out again?
Yeah. Again, this is sort of the, you know, when you make these calls and you talk to people associated with this, this has kind of been the vibe that's emerged this week that maybe the teams are looking in other directions. But and I know that would be shocking and upsetting to a lot of people if he didn't get a job this cycle. And it's entirely possible, of course, that he will. But, you know, look, I mean, the Jets are starting to bring people in for second interviews, right? They got Robert Saleh coming in person, who interviewed via video chat earlier, like a lot of people did. Teams are moving to the second part of this, and you can't hire him right now, right? So if you're seeing teams move ahead with other candidates, it indicates that he may not be on their list of finalists. So, again, not to panic if you're a fan and an advocate of Eric Bieniemy getting a job, but I don't know that it's the sure thing it felt like a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. Dan, wow. Let's talk about a team which I don't know what kind of way they're moving in the Texans. What are your thoughts on this late request to bring Eric Bieniemy to talk about being head coach?
Well, again, if that's what's going on, then, you know, it seems like it's come out, obviously, that Deshaun Watson is a fan of Bieniemy's and wanted them to interview him, if not hire him. If they've put in that request now, the indications are they're doing it to sort of placate Watson, and that could be misguided because, again, the rules say you wouldn't be able to interview him now until after the Chiefs' season ends. So, I mean, you know, if the Browns beat the Chiefs this weekend, all of a sudden Eric Bieniemy can be interviewed and hired wherever. But I don't know a lot of people expect that to happen, and, in fact, the Chiefs are favored to return to the Super Bowl, which puts the whole timeline back a month. So it feels unlikely that he'd be a serious candidate for them when they could have interviewed him last week while the Chiefs were on bye and chose not to. Now, the one compounding factor is they have the GM in place now, and they didn't last week, so maybe now that he's there, he's putting his own list together, but I don't know. That it feels a little fishy.
Could we see the Texans trade Deshaun Watson? Is it realistic, Dan?
It's realistic in that anything's possible, but it would be very difficult for them financially to trade him. It's a much better idea for the Houston Texans to try and see if the relationship can be repaired. At this point, what you hear from Watson's end indicates that maybe it can't. But, you know, it's January. There are things that can be done, and time does have a healing effect. And, you know, he did sign a contract, so it's not as if he's never wanted to be there, right? Like, it's not as if he's always hated the place. So I think it's possible. But if it gets to the point where they're convinced he's not going to play, like he's going to sit out, he's going to pull a Carson Palmer in Cincinnati. Remember back about 10 years ago when he did that? If something like that is happening, then their hand could be forced and they could end up having to do it, in which case they're in a bad situation, again, against the cap. But it's a tough one. They're going to have to find a way to fix this problem.
Dan, I know you've been all over this and paying attention to what was going on in Philadelphia, as we talked about in the past. Philadelphia Eagles obviously parted ways with Doug Peterson. What's his next stop, if any at all? Is it the New York Jets or offensive coordinator somewhere, or at home for a year or two?
Yeah. Right. I mean, at home for a year or two isn't bad. I mean, these coaching contracts, head coaching contracts, are all guaranteed. So, you know, they still got to pay him. So if he wants to sit around and pop around at teams and do consulting like some of these guys do when they're in between jobs, that's not the worst way to go. Look, I mean, Philadelphia is a tough place. Peterson went through a lot there, obviously. He had a lot of success there, but it can wear on you, and it's possible he might want to take some time off. I guess it's possible he gets on the Jets list, but again, they're moving ahead with second interviews, so it seems like they're pretty far along in their process. I know Doug Peterson I believe he just bought a house in Florida. It's possible Jacksonville's a job of interest. Again, if that ends up being open, we don't know what's going to happen with the Urban Meyer situation there. So it's possible he jumps right back into it, but it's not automatic. I think a person in his situation might decide realistically to take a step back and maybe a year off from it.
One job before I let you go that's not open is Chicago Bears. They retained Pace and general manager Pace, as well as head coach Matt Nagy. What happens in that situation now? Do they retool the staff? Are you surprised that they retained him?
No, because that's sort of the way it had been pointing, right? Like, philosophically, am I surprised that they're not making a move? I could see the justification for it. But everything I've been told for the last several weeks is that those guys would be coming back. So not surprised if that is, in fact, the case. We do hear that Chuck Pagano, the defensive coordinator, is planning to retire. So they'll have a significant opening on the staff in that position. And then, yeah, there could be retooling. But I think the key for the Bears is, what are they going to do at quarterback? Are they going to bring back Mitchell Trubisky? Are they going to go in a completely different direction at that position? I think everything works off of that in terms of projecting what they do, you know, who they bring in staff-wise, and what the future is of Pace and Nagy going forward.
It's a great point. We should mention your mention of Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator for the last 4 years. Second interview with the Jets. We'll talk much more about that coming up at the top of the hour. That's NFL insider Dan Graziano. So Key's answer to the question of whose Super Bowl is on the line the most was Aaron Rodgers. Jay, just want to get your opinion on that. I've got a quick thought on that because it is a really juicy question. A Super Bowl for whom that remains at the quarterback position left in the playoffs would mean the most.
You know, I hear what everybody's saying about Aaron Rodgers. I just think about Drew Brees, too. I mean, this is probably Drew Brees' last year, and his team is absolutely loaded. I know he battled the rib injury, but him coming back off, this is his last shot at doing so. Look, tough call between the two, but I would probably go with Drew Brees.
And I will follow you. I'm up with Drew Brees as well. It isn't written in stone, but most people do believe this could be the next game, could be his final game. And there is something to be said in the NFL, as Key, you well know, for walk-off moments. There's something about the bus scoring a touchdown in Detroit and then saying, oh, yeah, I'm done. There's something about Elway helicoptering, winning two Super Bowls and saying, I'm done. It's the ultimate walk-off moment in sports, and Drew Brees has that within his sights.
Well, he does. But the reason I say it's so important to Aaron Rodgers is because Drew Brees is great. Hall of Fame, first ballot, done it all. You can't argue with his career whatsoever. One of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. But is he ever in that conversation about the greatest? We always, right, that whatever that means,
fair
whatever
point
that means, it's Brady, it's Montana, it's Elway to a degree. Those names kind of, and Aaron Rodgers' name floats in that greatest conversation with one Super Bowl. Imagine if he got the second one. Imagine where that would be. And the reason Drew Brees, to me, is like, he won a Super Bowl, he's going in the Hall of Fame, It's not a problem. He's going to have numbers, record-breaking numbers, but you never hear the greatest with him. You just never hear it. Even if he got two, I don't feel like you're going to hear that, Zubin.
Yeah. Last thing I would quickly just mention on that, there are eight quarterbacks that have won exactly two Super Bowls. There's a dozen that have won two or more, but there are eight quarterbacks that have won two. If he can get there, have the walk-off moment, and own, at the time of retirement, almost every single statistical passing record in the history of the NFL, it won't get him in that class. I agree, Key, but right? It'll get him so close.
But
yeah. Every
but
record.
Why, though? Why can't he get in that conversation with two?
I think
two?
He could. Yeah, he could easily
with
get in that conversation.
I don't think, Jay, I don't think he gets into the conversation with two. I just don't know why. I'm trying to understand why, when we talk about quarterbacks being great, his name never comes to the surface. It's always like the ones I mentioned, the Montanas, the Bradys, the Aaron Rodgers, the John Elways.
That's fair enough. He's trying to creep there. Those two guys are closer to the end, Breeze and Rodgers. Mahomes and Jackson are closer to the beginning of their career. So who would a Super Bowl benefit more if one of those two could grab one in Tampa next month? The fellas will weigh in after that. But first, SportsCenter. Jay, you'll like this one. Speaking of weighing in, James Harden has essentially said this Rocket situation is crazy, not fixable. They got blown out by Keys Lakers last night. Trade deadline is March 25th. He said last night after the game, I've given the city everything I can give. It might be a last salvo, although the Rockets, I should mention, control his rights for the next 2 years, and they don't seem eager to trade him, at least at this very moment. The Bears are more eager than you thought to bring back Matt Nagy and the general manager, Ryan Pace. That according to our Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN. Why is that? We'll ask Tom Waddle, former Bears receiver, host on our station ESPN 1000 in Chicago, and that's in about 14 minutes from now. And what do the fans think about it? We'll get into that with Tom in 14 minutes. And the NHL season begins tonight. Period, stop, end of sentence. SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I am absolutely, I've gone 42 years without one. I can go the next 42 if I make it that far. I can go the next 42 without one. No pets, never.
Zubin, you're missing out. It's a companion, Zubin. It's your homie. It rolls with you.
Yeah,
my dog Denzel Washington rolls with me every day. Key sent us a picture of him walking his two little guys out on the streets of New York. That's your crew.
Your dog's name is Denzel Washington?
Denzel Washington, yes.
Don't ask Tim why.
I'm not an acclaimed actor. I'm not saying there's
anything. Training day.
No, I'm
it's training
don't,
day.
Don't.
I train my dog.
Why would you name your dog Denzel Washington?
I got
Washington.
The double entendre.
But
well played.
Dogs, you're smart, though, because dogs are expensive, man. They are expensive.
Here's the other thing. It's 28 degrees in New York City. Do I have to wake up at 9 o'clock at night and go take them outside for a walk when I should be in bed at 9 o'clock at night getting ready for the show?
Absolutely. I feel like you. If it wasn't for my kids, them dogs wouldn't be nowhere near me.
Stupid, it would take you 10 minutes to walk the dog.
And I love dogs. But the fact that I have to take care of the dogs like they're my kids, it's crazy. I got to boil chicken, chop it up, put peas and carrots and chop it up and freeze it. And it's just, it's too much work.
What kind of California vegan diet do you have your dogs on? What happened to dog food?
No, but see, I'm not Alpo and stuff like that, Jay. I'm not feeding my dogs that. We're beyond that in life. Well, I'm just being honest with you. You go and you buy big bag of chicken, frozen chicken. You go to Costco. You boil a chicken. You chop it up. You get the big bag of carrots and peas. You chop it up. You mix it all together. You freeze it. You mix it in with the dog food. And you drop a little chicken stock on top. They good to go.
Man, just put hot sauce on it as well. Damn, that's a hell of a lot of prep.
Man, you love your dogs. You take care of them.
I think Key's dogs eat better than I do.
Yeah, what?
I think
they're
your
a healthier diet than you,
better
Zubin.
Than I do. Boiled chicken, vegetable, every man.
In the vet, you know, we got insurance on the dogs because
that's
of the
smart
vet
though.
And
that's
stuff
smart.
Like that.
You need that because those vet prices.
Yeah,
be outrageous.
The vet prices go through the roof. Through the roof. I'm just being honest with you. And so, you know, when and you call Wags, which is an app that you can use for somebody to come and walk the dog if you're out of town or you're gone for a long period of time.
Right.
You get somebody wag, they open up, they come in, walk the dog, go on about your business. You got to take care of them, man.
But you can get a fish
I mean, you can get
a fish, man. What's wrong with y'all?
Something. What, I mean, he
talking
can get one
to
pet.
A fish, Jay, is not like talking to a dog.
I understand, but I mean, he's not doing it for therapy purposes, like to have communication. He's just doing it to have a companion, Key.
Yeah, but it's a fish and a dog is totally different.
I agree.
Fish is cool to look at. Oh, speaking of that, one of the first things I ever did, and you remember this back in the day, Jay, when you made it, you wanted a fish tank in the wall at
the
crib.
The big one. Yeah.
Oh, I had the big one.
Like the giant
the whole
one.
Everybody took this whole wall up. They had to dive in to clean it. Worst thing I ever did in my life, man.
Have no idea how to do the maintenance on it, but I want the biggest fish tank there is in the world.
You talk about wasting money. That was the dumbest damn thing I ever did, but I was cool. It showed up on MTV Cribs.
You had sharks and everything. You had baby sharks.
Man,
yeah.
Shark size is Zubin. Fresh. Hey, on top of that, you got people over. They looking at it. You think you cool. You got the pool table going, the big old giant fish tank. A waste of damn money.
Why is there a guy with this scuba gear in Key's fish tank right now?
Literally, they had to dive into it. It was the entire wall, man. It was cool, though. It was cool.
All right, speaking of cool, Patrick Mahomes, 2 Super Bowl titles in 2 years after waiting 50 years for the franchise to get 2 Super Bowl championships. That would be cool. Lamar grabbing his first would be cool, especially after getting that first playoff win. We talked about why this would be so important. It's pretty obvious for Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, Tom Brady, some of the older statesmen of the league. But for a young guy, a Super Bowl title would be more important if Mahomes could grab one, his second, or Jackson could grab his first. Key right now, because one building his legend, one's already seemingly in GOAT status, the other one's trying to creep closer to his first. It would mean more to whom?
I think it means great deal to both. But sure. I think Patrick Mahomes,
I agree,
because of the hype, the buildup, they were the favorites to go and get it and cash in on that and get two in such a short period of time just sets you up for what everybody was talking about in the preseason in the offseason about him being the guy, $500 million contract, just everything. To not get a Super Bowl this year would be somewhat of a failure in Kansas City's case, opposed to Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. The conversation was just get a playoff win. So let's not move the goalposts on Lamar Jackson just yet.
I would just go back to a month ago where Jeff Darlington, who I've known for a very long time, very respected in NFL circles, actually called Tom Brady going to the Bucks. The fact that he compared Patrick Mahomes to Michael Jordan after only having one Super Bowl win, I mean, that sets a high bar, Zubin, a high, high bar. So in order for him to continue on that trajectory, you got to get a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, and
or soon.
Yeah,
you got to win multiple.
I agree,
fast.
Because it's setting up to the point where Key said, and this is ridiculous, but this is where we are in the world of sports right now, and there's no going back. Every year he doesn't win one, it's going to be seen as a failure, which is a ridiculous bar or standard to have, but that's where we are right now.
Well, it depends on who goes to the Super Bowl this year and who wins it, right? If they don't go to the Super Bowl this year and they don't win it, whoever wins it next year or this year, people will anticipate them going back to win it again, right? Whether it's New Orleans or whether it's the Rams or whether it's Green Bay or Buffalo, for instance, goes and they win, people are going to put that pressure on Josh Allen. I mean, that's just – or the Ravens or – Baker Mayfield. Just depends on who wins it this year.
Fair enough. We'll wait to see what happens. There's some great choices. Like I said, on the older end of the spectrum, we know what it would mean for Brady when compared to Belichick, because that's always going to happen, right?
Well, Brady doesn't have anything to prove. He doesn't have anything to prove.
But I think it ends the Belichick-Brady argument, though.
You don't think he has anything to prove?
If he wins a Super Bowl without
Bill Belichick in his first year?
He doesn't have anything to prove. It would be great if he won because we can now have content to talk about. But if he doesn't win, we're like, right? It's going to be like,
I just feel like Tom Brady has everything to prove to Tom Brady on this one because he wants to do it without Bill Belichick.
No, you always want to do it without somebody that you've been connected with that, you know, to show that you can do it. But to me, and probably to the masses, if he wins it, great. And if he doesn't, it doesn't stop anything. He still is the GOAT, one of them. How many GOATs can you have?
I've always said, pet peeve, singular term, greatest of all time, not greatest, some of the greatest of all times, right? It's the GOAT. There's only one GOAT, not multiple GOATs.
Is that bad? Or
and this is coming from a guy that doesn't have a pet. I know about GOATs. I don't have a pet, I can tell you.
We should get Zubin a baby GOAT. Let's find him one.
Oy. Calm down.
I don't know what the pet fee would be.
I don't know that I want to see Zubin walking a goat in Times Square.
I want
not
to see
really.
It. I want to see it.
Walking into the elevator, pressing the 14th floor with a goat. With the Grubhub guy standing next to me. On the way. All right, back on track. On the way. The Bears keep their coach. They keep their GM. But what does it mean for keeping their quarterback? We'll ask a guy that used to catch passes from Bears quarterbacks.
Wednesday, we set our sights on the NFL's divisional round. Tony Dungy will join me to break down the games, and we keep an eye on the coaching carousel as well. It's me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The Bears may have lost Sunday, but if there was a statistical marker on leading the game in cliches, what? The Bears would have won. Listen to that there from Matt Nagy. And, of course, Mitchell Trubisky heard them say unfinished business. The question now becomes who will finish the business, and it appears the head coach will be back, Matt Nagy. The GM, Ryan Pace, much maligned, highly criticized, will be back. We'll see what it means for Mitch Trubisky. Tom Waddle is a former Bears wide receiver, caught plenty of passes from Bears quarterbacks of old, and he joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. Of course, he's also the host in Chicago of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Jay, of course, knows the city of Chicago well, and he joins us this morning. All right, Tom. Take me inside. What are people in and around the organization, fans, yourself, what's everybody saying on the fact that the GM and the head coach are going to be returning?
Well, good morning, fellas. I think it's pretty much a consensus. People are they're frustrated. They're disappointed. I think people were expecting and hoping for change, and I think we found out last night that really there is not going to be much change. And you know, I think that that's got people a little bit frustrated. I think what this team has been over the last 3 years, and specifically the last 2 years, is they've been remarkably mediocre on all fronts. And to think that things are going to get markedly better going forward with the same man in the seat of general manager and the same guy coaching the team, I think it leaves people with a lack of optimism for sure.
When you look at it, the guy's gone to the playoffs a couple times. He backdoored in this year, Tommy. He's also made some mistakes in terms of quarterback decisions. If, in fact, he gives up play calling duty and hires a competent offensive coordinator design guy that knows how to get Tom Waddle and Keyshawn Johnson open right now, is that going to ease things in the taste buds of the people out there in Chicago?
Well, first of all, I don't think Keyshawn needs any help, Key, to get open. I did. So he's got a handful with me, not with you. But I don't know. I think Matt was brought here, Key, to revolutionize this offense. And I think if you look at what they've done statistically, and stats are one thing, your eyes, the eye test is another. In year one, I think they finished 21st in the league. Last year, they were 29th, and this year they were 23rd or 24th. I don't think there's a whole lot of optimism that Matt has the capacity to really take this offense to the next level. Whether he is just standing back and helping with the game plan and watching somebody else call the plays, or he's in full control of what's going on. The improvement offensively just hasn't been there. So to think that whether it's Bill Lazor or somebody else that's going to be calling plays next season and miraculously whoever's at quarterback is going to play better, or they're going to stay more focused on running the football, or they're going to design some things to get guys open, I think that at this point it would be a bit of blind faith. I just don't think you've seen the results. I don't think you've seen the progress that everyone was hoping for, and they're stuck in this rut, as I said, of mediocrity, where offensively they really haven't found the formula to get any better.
What's the plans with Mitch Trubisky moving forward? Are they going to retain him, offer him up something small to see if he is the long-term answer, or have they arrived to the no already?
You know, Key, I thought that I didn't know really what they were going to do yesterday in terms of whether or not they were going to keep Ryan Pace or they were going to keep Matt Nagy. The one thing I felt most strongly about, and I feel most strongly about, is I don't think there's any way if you bring Matt back, you bring back the quarterback. You could bring back one of them, but not both of them. And I think what you've seen over the last couple of years is a complete lack of trust from Matt in his quarterback. And I think you saw it was on full display. The two most important games of the season this year were the Green Bay Packers game in Week 17 and obviously the playoff game this past weekend against the Saints. And what Matt did was show you it was on full display. He didn't trust his quarterback. Now, I think he made the right decision weeks ago, modifying that offense and focusing more on running the football and taking advantage of what Mitch does well, and that means getting him out on the edge and use his athleticism. I think he's more accurate on the edge than certainly from inside the pocket. But that offense will work against bad teams, as we saw. But when you face a better defense that has game, you know, has better athletes, they have the capacity to control some of the stuff that you're trying to do, then you see how limited you are. So I just don't believe that since Matt is coming back, how can you bring back the quarterback that for 2+ years he has shown each and every Sunday that he doesn't trust? So look, anything's possible in the city right now, but my thought yesterday and my thought again today is if Matt is back, there's no way they're going to bring back a quarterback that he showed you time and time again he didn't trust.
Tommy, I often said this every time I watch a Bears game, and I'm like, man, just a quarterback away. A quarterback away. Who is that quarterback? Tommy Waddle, you are Ryan Pace. Who do you go get to get the job done in Chi-Town?
Well, can I pull the trade off for Deshaun Watson? I mean, we hear a lot of stuff about how Deshaun's not happy in Houston. I mean, you whiffed on him in 2017. You may get a second chance. Can you go pick him up? I don't know, Jay. I mean, look, it's hard. It's not easy. I mean, if it was easy to identify and develop quarterbacks, then guys wouldn't lose their jobs every 3 or 4 or 5 years. But that's really the formula. You guys know it. Professional sports, it's two pronged. I have to identify and procure the talent, and then you have to develop it. They've done neither. So to circle back and answer your question, I don't know. All I know is you're going to let the same general manager try to find the next quarterback. He's whiffed 3 times. He signed Mike Glennon as a free agent. He traded up in 17 to draft Mitch when Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were available. And then they traded for Nick Foles, which I think was a big Matt Nagy decision as much as it was Ryan Pace. But he's had 3 swings at it, and he's whiffed every time. And in 6 years as the general manager, they've only drafted 1 quarterback. I don't know who that guy is, but I don't think Ryan Pace knows either.
Good stuff, Tommy. We got to run. Back to talk Jets at the top of the hour.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.